Welcome to Eagles Game Plan. It's Dallas week. We're going to see these two teams battled out at Lincoln Financial Field for first place in the NFC East.
That's right. The Cowboys are in town. And on today's show, we'll take a closer look at how the Eagles match up against them on both sides of the ball.
But first, we'll dive into the tape to see what went well in last week's victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And as always, head coach Chip Kelly is going to join me right here to break down the game against Tampa as Eagles game plan starts right now. Welcome to Eagles Game Plan. It's Mike Quick and Ike Reese. They join me, Brian Baldinger, every week here as we break down the Eagles game. And let's start with you here, Mike. Looking back at Tampa last week, what impressed you the most?
Baldy, I thought the game plan was outstanding. You know, going into the game, you knew that Revis was going to try and take DeSean Jackson everywhere on the field. Well, they moved DeSean Jackson around a lot so that he wasn't head up with Revis, so that you create mismatches with DeSean, getting him in places where he's not usually. We saw him in the backfield. We saw him out wide. We saw him in the slot in a lot of different areas. You know that he draws a lot of attention, and the way they used Shady McCoy, I thought was outstanding. The game plan going in made the difference in the football game.
I think DeSean liked that game plan. First time he's caught two touchdown passes in a game since he's been here. Ike, what'd you see?
I'm going to stay on the offensive side of the ball. I got to go with Riley Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt.
We've been talking about a different threat in the passing game to sort of relieve some of the pressure off DeSean Jackson. Riley Cooper stepped up last week, had some one-on-one matchups against the rookie Jonathan Banks. He took advantage of. You had a deep play where he made a catch for a touchdown. And then I love the fact that he was able to make a guy miss. With that big body, he showed the ability to run after the catch. I mean, if he can keep this going, the Eagles' offense will definitely look unstoppable the rest of the year.
I'm going to go to the other side of the ball. I thought the defensive line played their best overall game all year long, led by Fletcher Cox. I thought it was by far his best game. He played 50 snaps of the 67. On a hot day, he was dominant against the whole defensive line. Cedric Thornton, Vinnie Curry, Isaac Sopaaga played very, very well in the game, forced a couple holding calls. I thought they controlled the line of scrimmage, and I thought that was really set the tone for the defense last Sunday. Ike, right here last week, you told us about Bradley Fletcher and the game that he had against the New York Giants, and I thought against Tampa he stayed true to form.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of weeks have been very impressive by Bradley Fletcher. Great job in the New York Giants game. He backs it up this week, coming up with a big, big interception at their halftime. That was a drive that the Tampa Bay Bucs looked like they were going to take a 10-point lead, at least a 6-point lead. He comes up with a big interception, countless pass breakups throughout the game. I'm starting to see Bradley Fletcher really coming to his own. He's playing real confident, and there's nothing like having a solid corner that you can count on out there on the island. Buccaneers are up 17-14 and are driving into Eagles territory early in the third quarter. It's second and four, and the Eagles are in man-free coverage with Earl Wolf lined up as a deep safety with man coverage underneath. Fletcher is lined up at his left cornerback spot and is manned up on Bucs receiver Tyquan Underwood, who will be running a quick slant route. One of the keys to this play will actually be Nate Allen, who is running with tight end Tim Wright to the flat. Allen's presence in the passing lane actually causes Underwood to break off his route early while Mike Glennon is letting go of the football. The ball is thrown right into Fletcher's chest as he brings it in for the huge interception to stop the Buccaneers' drive. The turnover would prove to be pivotal as just five plays later, Nick Foles would hit Riley Cooper deep for a touchdown to give the Eagles the lead, one they wouldn't relinquish for the rest of the game.
First and 10 for the Eagles, moving from our left to our right. Nick Foles and the shotgun. Foles puts Jackson in motion. He's back. He comes. He floats it out to McCoy. 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Cuts to the center of the field. He has one man to beat. He stumbles and he is down outside the 40.
Chip, a lot of good stuff from Tampa last weekend. It started in the first play, too, and pretty good design right here because that guy right there, Darrell Revis, was a little bit unsure what to do since I think his job was to travel with DeSean here, and you kind of anticipated that.
We did, you know, and I think one of the great things about DeSean is he's so intelligent a football player, he doesn't have to play one spot, so we can move him around. So we lined him up in the backfield. We've done it a little bit earlier during the year, and, you know, we can motion him out. We've got some routes for him coming out of the backfield, but You know, it causes some problems in the defense when the corner doesn't know where to line up. So now you got a little bit of confusion before the play starts. And on this play, Deshaun's just some window dressing, so we can kind of get them looking somewhere else. They got a great defensive line. You know, and the one way to slow a defensive line down is to screen them. And they don't get the chance to pin their ears back every play. And to start the game with it, I thought our guys did a really good job with it.
Well, we're going to see. And it wasn't just the design. It was also, obviously, the execution and then the effort from a lot of different people here. So kind of just take us through what you saw and why this thing worked so well and kind of got you guys off to a good start.
Well, when you get a guy who can get so much attention, you watch everybody travel with Deshaun. Then we're bringing the back underneath, and then just two outstanding blocks by these. You watch Kelce on this play. We showed him.
You got to bump this right to his resume reel here, Chip, because you just don't see this in the NFL on any given Sunday. It just doesn't happen.
But we talk about leading the league in effort, and you got two big 300-pound guys out in front of everybody, and then finish a safety. Brent Celek's down the field. Coop's down the field. Jason Avant's doing a great job. You know, to start the game with an explosive play like this, I think really kind of set the tone for the day.
And I just think this guy, Lavonte David, is a heck of a football player. But at this point, he seems confused to me, Coach. Like, he's just giving that signal right here that I'm going. Like, he's just pumping his fist. I'm going. And they actually bring the middle linebacker and the weak side linebacker, all of them through the same gap, away from the play.
Yeah, they were trying to zone blitz us on the first play and create some pressure, but we had it dialed up and called the right way in the right direction away from the zone blitz. And you look at Kelce's block again, really impressive on a really good safety. And, you know, we got an explosive play. Guys chasing, Lane's down the field, Jason's down the field, Coop's out in front. So it was a good way to start the football game.
You really took advantage of this guy right here who's squatting on this play. People talk about the red zone, but you're able for the second week in a row to get Deshaun free here. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was the first read.
It's a combination read of what this safety does. And we just have a high-low play going with the tight end running a shallow cross and a dig route over the top of it. And then if he's going to double here, we think Brent will clear. If this kid's going to sit and hold his feet on Brent, then we know that Deshaun will clear. And I think at the end of the play, if you watch it, I think Revis thought he had help.
He thought he had inside help.
Inside help. But I think when you run the tight end on a crossing route, it really clouds the picture for that safety.
His eyes are in a backfield right here. And like you mentioned, you got the crossing route coming underneath right here. And so right behind it, you're obviously throwing the dig right there. And I don't know, that anticipation and that touch and the throw right here, Chip, I mean, you can practice that all you want, but game day, when you deliver it like that, that says something about how prepared the kid is.
Yeah, well, we have. You know, we've had this play in since the first week. It was just somebody wasn't smart enough to call it.
All right, we'll look for that a little bit more. It wasn't just the offense, though. It was the defense here. This kid, I don't know. I mean, I thought he played a great game in Fletcher Cox, and he was a dominant player here. And when he plays like this, it looks like it's a totally different defense when it starts up front. I mean, that kind of penetration right there, just bubbling Doug Martin right now.
He played his best game to date, and Fletch is obviously, he's still a young player and went from one system to another in his 2 years here with us, but really starting to take advantage of his athletic ability. You know, we had him for five pressures on the quarterback, just does a great job of two-gapping the guard right here, walking him back into the play, you know, taking advantage of his size and his strength, you know, causing penetration at the line of scrimmage, not getting knocked back, and then it frees up guys like Michael Kendricks because the fullback can't fit in to block him. But I think when you can win the line of scrimmage like Fletch is winning right there, it causes a lot of problems and it gives everybody an opportunity. There's Michael Kendricks coming off of it. The great thing about Fletch is not only is he a two-gap guy, and that's what our two-gap guys do, but they got to get off the blocks and make plays. Their job isn't just to occupy blockers. And you see him come back in at the end and fullback finish. And finish. And part of our game plan going in, our number one game plan going in, was stop the run game. And we held a really good running back, Doug Martin, at 67 yards rushing.
And almost non-existent in the second half. So we'll take a look here at this particular play as well, and you kind of just take us through this one here, Chip.
Yeah, I think the key to this was actually on first down, we stopped them. This is the third down play. We just scored to go up 28-20, and we go on the field, and we get a three and out. But we have a great twist stunt going on here. We got a penetrator with Curry, and then Connor's coming back inside and is a looper. I think with Connor's speed, he does a great job of making sure that the tackle sets for him and then comes back underneath. We got great push on this side, but I also think the combination of all sacks is we have great coverage on the back end.
So the quarterback, tight man-to-man coverage on the back end.
Quarterback doesn't have anybody to give the ball to immediately, and now the rush can get to you. And it's a great effort. I thought our guys played hard right to the end. But when you can go up 28-20 and then come back out in the field and go three and out, you know, I think that's what we talked about, this being a great team win for us.
Well, you get the guard turned like that. I mean, this is a good football player, David Joseph. Mm-hmm. He's been to the Pro Bowl a couple times. But when he gets his shoulders turned like that, it really does open up this gap right here. And then if Fletcher's just dominant inside here against two, it really does create that gap right there where I don't care if you're Mike Glennon or who you are, you're going to have a hard time getting out of that way.
Exactly. And you throw that at the combination with everybody being close in coverage and plastering their guys on the back end, and we're in a pretty good situation.
Coming up on the show, we'll show you where the Eagles may be able to exploit the Cowboys on the defensive side of the ball. But first, we'll evaluate the performance of the Eagles offense with Nick Foles at the helm. How did the second-year quarterback look on tape? We'll find out when Eagles game plan returns. Eagles game plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority, for all things sporting good. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation. The power of physical therapy. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. Mike, you've had a bird's eye view the last couple of weeks of Nick Foles and how well he has played. Let's go through a couple of plays. Tell us what you see right here, he sees.
Just making really good decisions. On this play, there's only one place to go with the football. If you look at the other three receivers in the pattern or two receivers in the pattern, they're very well covered. Mm-hmm. But Nick Foles finds that window
right
exactly where he should go with the football.
You know, the throw is with anticipation here, Mike, kind of leading him into that hole right there. And it really, for Riley Cooper, it doesn't get a whole lot easier than this.
First looks to the right side, second look to that back coming out of the backfield, but then he's got that window opening up, and you're right. He anticipates very well and gets the football into that window.
When I was watching tape this week and I saw Nick Foles' final touchdown against the Bucs, the 36-yarder to DeSean Jackson, some alarm bells went off in my head. First, let's look at the touchdown that Foles threw to Jackson, the 36-yarder. Notice where DeSean Jackson is lined up. He's in the slot to the wide side of the field. I've watched the Eagles for years and years and years. And almost every time DeSean is in the slot to the wide side of the field with a closed formation to the other side, to the boundary, that's a shot play. They like to throw the ball deep down the field to DeSean. And that's what they did here. They threw it deep down the field. Foles dropped back. It was a deep over route. He threw it over the safety to that side of the field. Then something else occurred to me. I remembered that Bill Sheridan was the defensive coordinator for the Bucs. And all of a sudden, I think to a play in 2009, believe it or not, the exact same play. And the reason it occurred to me, it was against the Giants, and Bill Sheridan was the defensive coordinator for the Giants in 2009. Look at this play. You see the exact same formation. Slot to the right, the wide side of the field, DeSean in the slot. You see a closed formation to the left with two tight ends. And you know what? The Giants, as the Bucs did in the previous play, played cover two. But because it's a closed formation to the boundary, the safety to that side sits closer to the line of scrimmage, just as was the case with the Bucs play. So what do you get? You get DeSean Jackson on the deep over route, because you're beating the safety to the short side of the field. You know DeSean's going to beat the safety to his side because he's screaming at him at full speed. No safety in the NFL can handle that. That's one reason I absolutely love watching coaching tape, because you see things, and it raises a point that I've always believed. Coaches coach against coaches. They know how other coaches defend specific formations. And that's exactly what happened with Nick Foles' touchdown to DeSean Jackson this past week. The Eagles knew how Bill Sheridan would play that formation, and they had that route combination, which they understood, and it worked perfectly. A 36-yard touchdown from Nick Foles to DeSean Jackson.
This portion of the Eagles game plan was brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we'll take a closer look at the Cowboys' defense and where the Eagles could attack it right here on Eagles game plan. Welcome back to Eagles game plan. And Mike, I think any part of the Eagles game plan right now is going to involve going after the second-year corner right here, Maurice Claiborne of the Dallas Cowboys. Here he is against the rookie Keenan Allen, but they kind of like him in press coverage, Mike. That's sort of what they let him do.
Baldy, they're going to have a lot of opportunities one-on-one on the outside. Mm-hmm. Monty Kiffin's defense is not the old Tampa 2. You're right. Going to see a lot of three deep and a lot of one-on-one, as I said, on the outside, and some opportunities, especially against Maurice Claiborne. You can see on this play, he's actually in pretty good position, mm-hmm. but the receiver playing the ball so much better than he plays the ball in the air.
Well, against the Redskins, he did the same thing. I mean, here's their number one receiver, Pierre Garçon, down at the bottom, and does a pretty good job of working him right here and just creating a little separation. There's receivers, Mike, I think, I've got to work him here a little bit. You're going to get a chance to stutter, to kind of like head fakes and little things to buy yourself a little bit of real estate.
Yeah, Garçon does a nice job here of pushing him up the field. Mm-hmm. And once you get him thinking up the field, it's easy to turn and make plays. And then once you get him like that, mm-hmm. it's easy to just blow right by him.
We've taken a look at the struggles the Cowboys are having with their secondary. Let's take a look up front and see how they'll be able to create a pass rush without their leading pass rusher, DeMarcus Ware. This is a play from the past week against the Washington Redskins after Ware left the game with a quad injury. It's third down and 7, and the Cowboys come out in a nickel sub package with two linebackers lined up close to the line of scrimmage. Number 54, Bruce Carter, and number 50, Sean Lee, are sugaring the A-gaps, making the Redskins believe they'll be coming on a blitz. Only one of them will be coming, however, as Bruce Carter will actually drop back into coverage. As the play starts, you'll see that Lee will actually be taking part in the stunt with the three technique Nick Hayden, who will be slanting inside to the A-gap. Additional pressure will be brought from the slot, where Orlando Scandrick will be attacking the B-gap on the guard's outside shoulder. The Redskins actually do a good job picking up the blitz, but the pressure is enough to make Robert Griffin III force a throw into coverage and a near interception. With Ware out of the lineup, the Cowboys will have to try some new things to pressure the quarterback, something the Eagles will have to be ready for on Sunday afternoon.
This portion of the Eagles game plan was brought to you by Sports Authority, official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. The 6th annual Eagles Blood Drive will take place December 28th at Lincoln Financial Field. Every donor will receive a special Eagles gift and a chance to win a pair of tickets to the 2014 home opener. Make your appointment today. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. And guys, this is our final segment we call Three and Out. Our final thoughts as we get ready for the Dallas Cowboys coming to Lincoln Financial Field. And Mike, what are some of the thoughts that you have here?
Baldy, I know that this offense can score points against any team in the National Football League, but what's going to be key is how much they limit the production of the Dallas Cowboys, and Tony Romo in particular. He's at his best outside of the design of the play when he has a chance to run around and create things.
You look at a game like this, and it's the third phase of the game that sometimes is overlooked. You know, Dallas was able to beat the Redskins last week, not because of that high-powered offense, but more importantly, because they had two key special teams plays by their awesome returner, Dwayne Harris. He's already been special teams player of the week. Every year, your special teams has to win one or two games for you. And I think this is a game, if the Eagles are able to limit Dwayne Harris and his big punt returns, it'll go a long way of controlling field position for the Eagles offense, and it should give them an advantage this week.
One thing I've seen here in the last couple of weeks that I think, if it holds true on Sunday, is going to give the Eagles an extra chance is they are finishing their drives. They've been excellent in the red zone.
Yeah.
They're getting a lot of yards, but now they're scoring, and the points are starting to go hand in hand with the yards that they're gaining right now. They're one of only three teams in history to gain over 400 yards of offense in all the first 6 weeks. So if they can continue that red zone production, I think the Eagles have an excellent chance of coming out of this game in first place in the NFC East. For Ike Reese and Mike Quick, I'm Brian Baldinger. We'll be back here next week as we advance the New York Giants who come to town. Eagles Game Plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority, for all things sporting good. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.